Tonight to James, the book of James, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Thus far in this study of faith, we have considered the nature of faith, the object of faith, the origin or source of faith, the warrant of faith. Now tonight we're going to consider the evidence of faith. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. How can we as individuals know that the faith we claim to have is a genuine, saving faith in Jesus Christ? Is there something which characterizes those with saving faith by which it may be known that that faith is genuine? The Apostle James says in our text that there is an evidence of faith that can be seen. And that evidence is good works in the life of the believer. The term good works is found in various forms more than 30 times in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for example, makes clear that one of the purposes of God's written word is to prepare preachers and God's people for every good work. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now turn to Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Titus 3:8. Paul tells God's preachers here to affirm constantly that they which have believed in Christ should be careful to maintain good works. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Then look down the page a little bit there at Titus 2:14. Paul tells us who have true faith to be zealous of good works. He's speaking of Christ here, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now then, a passage of Scripture which is quoted more often than nearly any other, especially among those of us who believe the doctrines of God's grace, is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Surely you know this by memory, or close to by memory. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Often we hear that verse. But how seldom do preachers of God's grace go on to read verse 10 of Ephesians 2. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Evidently, in the days of the apostles, a lot of people professed to be believers in Christ, But their faith did not produce solid evidence that they actually had the faith that they profess. In chapter 2 of his epistle here, where our text is found, James is addressing this problem. He is arguing against what we would call today nominal Christians. Some people through the years have tried to drive a wedge between James's theology and Paul's theology concerning justification. I had liberal professors in college, and they delighted in trying to make Paul oppose James in this matter. In Romans 3:28, we find Paul's great statement about justification justification and faith and works. I'll say it that way. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, Paul says that. In Romans 4:6, Paul says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, some people quote James 2:24, saying that this contradicts Paul's doctrine of justification, that justification is only by faith without works. Look at James 2:24 here. James chapter 2 and verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So you see, they try to make these two things contradict each other. But my friends, James does not contradict Paul. Paul and James in their passages are actually speaking of different things. When Paul speaks of justification, he's speaking of men being justified before God. When James speaks about justification here in our text, he's speaking of our faith being justified before men. Our faith is being justified before men, in James's way of speaking. Paul is saying that our persons are justified before God by faith only. James is saying that our faith is justified before men by works. James is saying that a faith that justifies but does not bring forth good works is impossible. Turn to Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. Here in Romans 2:13, Paul agrees with this view of James when he says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Good works are the evidence of faith, not the condition of justification. I want to run that by you again. I know we're all getting a little bit weary after these three straight days, but maybe we can wake up with this. Let me run it by you again. Good works are the evidence of faith, not the condition of justification. James never meant for a moment that our works could earn any consideration from God in justification. He never meant that. Now, in the message tonight, we're going to consider three things in relation to the evidence of faith. First, this text makes abundantly clear that good works is the evidence of genuine faith. In verse 17 of our text, James makes a statement of fact when he says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James says here that saving faith cannot exist without good works. Here in chapter 2 of this epistle, James shows those to whom he was writing the utter insufficiency of such empty profession of faith when no good works are performed by the believer. Such a faith is like a lifeless carcass, a body without a soul. as he says in verse 26. Look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The union of faith and works is as close as the union of spirit and body. Just as there can be no living human body without the Spirit, so there can be no saving faith without good works. People who have no good works, though they profess to believe in Christ and the gospel, are dead in trespasses and sins. By means of good works, faith appears to be alive, and those who perform good works appear to be true and living believers. That's how it's known. That's how it is seen. Good works cannot earn salvation. Don't make a mistake about that. Good works cannot earn salvation, and yet they cannot be separated from salvation either. Charles Spurgeon has very effectively illustrated the close and inseparable relation of works to faith by using the figure of an apple tree. An apple tree always gets me, because when I was a boy, the lady next door had an apple tree. And she told us every spring, "Don't you do it." Every spring, we did it. And so this illustration really strikes home to me. The source of life in an apple tree is its roots. The apples do not give life to the tree, right? The life comes from the roots. But if there is no leaf, nor bud, nor fruit, the apple tree's dead. If a professor of Jesus Christ has life, he must produce apples of good works. And if he does not produce the fruit of good works, he is spiritually dead, no matter what his profession. Faith is the root. Good works is the fruit. And we must make sure that we have both. Faith without works is only assent. You remember that word from the first night? Assensus. Assent. Faith without works is only assent. It is not trusting and committing one's soul to Christ. It is even possible to be orthodox in one's faith, to believe all the great doctrines of God's Word, and still be dead in trespasses and sins, and without true and saving faith. The faith that saves is not a faith that just believes a list of doctrines. James says in verse 19 of this second chapter of his epistle, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The kind of faith that does not produce good works is no better in quality than the belief the demons have, he says. Now, you may believe solidly in all 5 points of Calvinism, or the doctrines of God's grace, as we love to call them. But just to be a 5-point Calvinist and hold to the 5 points is not faith. I'm convinced that the demons believe the doctrines of grace. They know those things are true. They're certainly not saved. These people are like the members of the church at Sardis. Those who have faith without works are like the members of the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:1. They may have a name to live, but they are actually dead. A faith that is in reality just a dead orthodoxy won't save anyone. Now, it is nothing but folly to think that the faith one has will save him if that faith does not produce good works. Look at verse 20 of James 2. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. One who professes faith in Jesus Christ but produces no good works entertains vain imaginations of being saved. The Apostle John deals with the same subject in 1 John 3:17 when he asks, how can a person say he loves his Christian brother when he sees him have need and doesn't help him? Let's turn to that, 1 John 3:17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? A faith that saves is a faith which produces good works. And a faith which does not produce good works only deceives us and can never take us to heaven. The fact that a man who professes faith does not do good works exposes the vanity of his claims. Now, it's important for us to realize here that it is possible for a person to do good works which may not qualify with God as good works. You know, there are good works that God doesn't classify as good works. Natural, unregenerate men are capable of performing works that are good in the eyes of men. We all know philanthropists and people who do good works in the eyes of men. Works such as reading their Bibles, going to church, giving to the poor, and so forth. But God does not consider these or any other works as good works if they are done from the wrong motive. When a person does good in order to bring attention to himself, for example, or to gratify his own opinions, his works do not qualify before God as good works. The unregenerate have no ability to do works in a spiritual way. And this is why Romans 3:12 says, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now in verse 18 of our text tonight, James issues a challenge. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. A lot of people boast of a faith whose reality they cannot prove. James issues a challenge for these people to prove they actually have faith. Where is your proof, he says. What effects has your faith produced in you? You can see that I have works. Show me your faith without your works if you can. Give me some evidence that you actually have the faith that you claim to have. These words of James, I believe, have a certain sarcasm in them, because there is no way to prove the reality of faith except by good works. A true believer in Christ might rightly ask a vain boaster of his faith to give evidence of his faith, which has no works. Faith is something which is hidden in the heart, and it cannot be known except by external acts, by good works. Good works. This is the evidence by which God's Word everywhere teaches men to judge themselves and others. Now, it's true that works may deceive people into thinking they have faith when they do not. That's a possibility. I tell you, the devil never misses a lick. He can turn these things around on us. But it's also true that where there are no good works, it is certain there is no true faith. Works are not an absolutely foolproof evidence of faith, but they are the only evidence we can give, nevertheless. Faith without works can neither justify nor prove that a man is justified. A second thing we shall consider in relation to the evidence of faith is two biblical examples James gives us of people whose faith produced good works. In order to enforce this important doctrine that good works is the evidence of faith, James appeals to two illustrations from the Old Testament. By the way, every once in a while I come across a preacher who buys books of illustrations. You know, they've got to have some story or some figure to use. I'll tell you what, my friends, here's a whole book of illustrations right here. James gives us two right out of the Old Testament here. Abraham and Rahab. Both of these persons demonstrated the reality of their faith by their works. In verses 21 through 24, James tells us about Abraham. Look what he says. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Abraham gave evidence of his faith. He demonstrated the reality of his faith when he obediently offered up his son Isaac on the altar as God had commanded him to do. Now, have you ever put yourself in that place? God, what if God told you, take that only son you've got and take him out there and sacrifice him alive and kill him and sacrifice him on that altar? That's what God told Abraham to do. Abraham obeyed God's command without hesitating and without wavering. Paul says specifically in Romans 4, 2 through 5, that Abraham was not justified before God by works. And yet James says in James 2, 21 through 24 that Abraham was justified by works. Abraham was not justified before God when he offered up Isaac on the altar. Now that's the key to this. Abraham had already been justified before God 30 years before this in Genesis 15, 6, where we read, and he believed in the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. That's where Abraham was justified. That was 30 years before this other verse that we read. Justifying righteousness had been imputed to or credited to Abraham's account when he had believed God. 30 years after God had justified Abraham, we have the incident in Genesis 22:12. Where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Here, Abraham was declared and evidenced to be justified by his ready obedience to God. Let's look at Genesis 22:12 here. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12. Genesis 22:12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. On Mount Moriah, Abraham's faith was evidenced by his work of obedience to God's command. Abraham is sometimes called the father of the faithful because every true believer exercises the same quality of faith that Abraham exercised. Now, the other illustration of good works evidencing genuine faith James uses here is that of Rahab. In verse 25 of this second chapter of James. What an interesting person Rahab was. Look at verse 25. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Now, you know, if you've read much of God's Word, you know about Rahab and who she was and what she was. Rahab was a totally different kind of person from Abraham. She was on the opposite end of the social ladder from Abraham. She had been an extremely wicked person, but God had saved her. Turn to Joshua chapter 2, and we'll read verses 9 through 11. In Joshua 2, 9 through 11, Rahab had professed her faith. Joshua 2, 9 through 11. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. That's key phraseology there. I know. Remember, knowledge is part of faith. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. So Rahab had heard how God had worked for Israel and what he had said about destroying the enemies of Israel, and she believed what she had heard. Remember that the means of faith is hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Paul said. Rahab heard and believed, but the thing which proved her faith was the fact that she acted on her belief. What did she do? Her faith caused her to risk her own life to save the lives of the two Israelite spies in her house. Rahab gave evidence that hers was a genuine faith. She showed that she was a justified person indeed when she, quote, received the messengers and sent them out another way, unquote. Because of this evidencing of her faith, Rahab is mentioned in Hebrews 11:31 as one of the heroes of the faith. And in Matthew 1:5, she's even listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, her Savior. My friends, if a prostitute like Rahab could be listed in the heroes of faith, you can be saved. There's hope for you, wretched sinner though you may be. Well, the third thing we shall consider in relation to the evidence of faith is some good works that we can do in our everyday lives. What kind of works prove that our faith is genuine? Well, one kind of good works is works of secret devotion, such as prayer and Bible study. How can a man say that he believes in Christ when he never prays secretly and never reads God's Word, thereby communing with Christ? My friend, if you have no private devotions, don't you fool yourself by saying that you have saving faith. Such a faith can never justify you. Works of obedience are another kind of good works that give evidence that one has true and saving faith. Real faith is expressed in obedience to the commands of God. Obedience to Christ proves the reality of one's faith. A living faith is an obedient faith. When a man truly trusts in Jesus Christ, he asks, as Paul did in Acts 9:6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? One's faith is evidenced by his acting on the commands of God. To the man who has true faith, God's commandments are not a burden under which he chafes and complains. You ever notice how
Some who claim to be Christians just, oh, I wish that commandment about the Sabbath wasn't in there. You know, they chafe under God's law. True faith. God's commandments are not a burden to those with true faith. His commandments are not grievous, he says in 1 John 5:3. The man with true faith neglects nothing which Christ commands, no matter how trivial it may seem to his reason. If you say that you are a believer in Jesus Christ for salvation tonight, prove it by submitting to scriptural baptism. The very first thing the Lord Jesus commands a Christian to do is submit to baptism. Why haven't you submitted? Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Christ, says Acts 2:38. Works of love are good works, which evidence the reality of one's faith. When we believe in Christ, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and it constrains us to do good works. Faith worketh by love, Paul said. In Galatians 5:6, love to God, love to man, even love to our enemies. Ever thought about that? How could I possibly love my enemies? The Lord Jesus says to them. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In Acts 9:36, we're told that Dorcas was full of good works. What did Dorcas do? Out of a heart of love, Dorcas made clothing for the needy women in the church. 1 Timothy 5:10 lists some other good works that are works of love. Bringing up children, lodging strangers, washing the saints' feet or ministering to their physical needs and relieving the afflicted. We can exercise hospitality to visitors to our church by having them into our homes for a meal. Brother, you've done that to us this week. But you know, a lot of churches need to learn hospitality. How to treat visitors. Visiting preachers, especially. We can visit elderly and ill members and seek to comfort and encourage them from God's Word in their trials. James says in James 1:27 that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We can help those among us who may be struggling financially. Many good works. We could go on and on, listing good works we could be doing. So, the evidence of faith is good works. Faith which is genuine is always accompanied by good works. The faith of God's elect is a faith that works. The kind of faith that justifies is a faith which produces good works. Again and again, God's Word exhorts God's people to do good works. Turn to Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Titus 3, 8. The Scripture says here, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now turn to 1 Timothy 6:18. 1 Timothy 6:18 urges us to be rich in good works, which Paul says to preacher Timothy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's talking about helping people in their financial needs. Because of faith, we should never grow weary in well-doing, but be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58. The fact that good works is the evidence of faith should be a call to each professing Christian to serious self-examination. We should each examine ourselves to see if we have this evidence of genuine faith in our lives. According to what we've seen in this message concerning the evidence of faith, I would ask you tonight, is yours a true faith or not? Do good works characterize your everyday life? And are your good works truly good because they are done out of love for God rather than to draw attention to yourself? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful tonight for the glorious, gracious gift of faith. We pray that you would apply these messages to our hearts, that we might have a greater understanding of this great gift of faith. And Father, we pray especially tonight that you would cause each person here to examine himself to see whether he be in the faith. And Father, may any lost person here tonight or who's been here this week and heard the messages, may he trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. To the glory and honor of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.